Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. This is actually like the fourth time I've tried to record this little ad roll here. Anyway, this episode is brought to you by AutoFiber.com, and over the next few months, we're going to be doing towels of the month through AutoFiber. So the towel of the month for June is the Double Flip. So the Double Flip towel is super cool. I really like it because it almost has pockets that your hand could fit in, but those pockets are created because you can flip the towel to different sides. So if you go over to autofiber.com, you could search the Double Flip, and if you use code DFLIP, that's the letter D and then flip, you can save yourself 20% on that. So again, the towel of the month for the month of June is by autofiber.com. That is the Double Flip towel. Save 20% on this towel. Makes it very reasonable. It's a phenomenal towel. Use code DFLIP and you can save 20% at autofiber.com. Another thing, I put out a video the other day, last week, depending on when you're listening to this, maybe years ago, about how I'm really trying to take my businesses to the next level, how I'm really trying to hire people on and kind of, I guess the gist of it is reach out and put people on my team or my circle that are more knowledgeable in certain areas than I currently am. And so, as you well know, I have the Detailer Inner Circle, which is what I can offer to you, is that you could join my inner circle. And obviously, I don't know everything, but I've teamed up with Pete, who's a marketing expert. And so what me and Pete have done has combined my knowledge of detailing, his knowledge of marketing, and created this, what we call the Detailer Inner Circle. And it's $100 a month. You could go to detailerinnercircle.com. You could check it out, the webinar, for free. We give a really good PowerPoint that's over an hour long, that's completely free, that if you do nothing else, you can start implementing the stuff that we talk about for free. But if you decide to join, it is $100 a month. But what I want to share with you guys, because some people gripe and say, oh, I can't afford the $100 a month, or I'm not in the right place in my business right now, or whatever. But the reason why it's $100 a month is because we know 100% for a fact that month after month after month after month, if you implement the tactics that are in the Detailer Inner Circle, it will more than pay for itself every single month. And then on top of that, you get a Voxer group chat with everyone else in the inner circle, direct access to me and Pete. I even had someone ask me the other day, hey, can I just hire Pete directly? And I called Pete and asked him, and he's like, look, I'm not taking on any one-on-one clients. If they want to join the inner circle, they'll have access to me, but I don't take on one-on-one clients, right? So direct access to Pete. You could pick his brain, my brain. Anyway, we got this awesome testimonial the other day that I'm going to play for you right now that shows through one client, this person more than paid for their services, their Detailer Inner Circle membership for the month. And a lot of people reach out to me and ask me, how do you deal with competition? How do you, you know, everyone seems to be the cheapest person in town. And if you listen to this next message that I'm going to play, that's 1 minute long, this guy actually charged more money than his competition. But because of the things that he learned through the Detailer Inner Circle, he was actually able to land those customers. So I'm trying to take my business to the next level. If you're looking to take your detailing business to the next level, I encourage you to check out the Detailer Inner Circle. Again, you could do that at detailerinnercircle.com. And I hope you will seriously, seriously consider joining, especially as we get into these hot and heavy months in the summer where the detailing season is in full swing. So detailerinnercircle.com. And here I'm going to play this little testimonial and then we'll get into today's episode. See ya.
Hey, Pete, I just wanted to tell you a story here. I did a client yesterday where it was a pre-sale detail, and at the end of the job, when I went to go get paid, the lady came up to me and she told me that what convinced her was my voicemail message. And my voicemail message was the script that you concocted for the whole Twilio and, you know, SMS conversation thing you got going. So I just wanted to say thanks. I just wanted to let you know that. And she also told me that I was $100 more than the guy that she called the first time. And she was also saying that, you know, as I was going to the first three little points of differentiating a professional versus a hobbyist, she says all three of those points were true. And then that's what made her listen to the whole message. And she ended up going with me. So I just want to let you know that. And thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, welcome to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm super excited. This is, I believe, going to be the first of many episodes like this. This episode, we have Justin Tapia. At least that's how white people say it, like myself. He owns Flat Six Revival, which is a detailing business there in Arizona. Justin, welcome to the Auto Detailing Podcast.
Hi, Jimbo. Thanks for having me.
And just for the listeners, so they have some back knowledge. Justin is actually packing up from a mobile job right now, so he was gracious enough to jump in. So if you hear a little background noise, we've all been there, done that. So that's what's going on. But Justin, tell us about your journey into detailing, how you got into it, what your business looks like right now. Well, actually, don't tell us what your business looks like right now. We'll get into that because I'm really excited about that part. But give us the backstory about you, who you are, all that good stuff.
Yeah, no problem. Since the day I was born, my family's always been in the automotive industry. When I was born, my dad actually had a towing company in Southern California, actually based out of the San Fernando Valley. So I kind of grew up around automotive and just the industry and seeing how, networking can work with different companies. And it's actually funny because when my dad was towing, he ran into some mobile detailers and he thought, huh, that's a really interesting idea. Never even thought about that business idea. He's like, you know, maybe someday I'm going to end up in that industry. You know, it was just an interesting thought to him at the time. So as time went on and I was growing up around that, I started seeing more detailers pop up and the way that people network with each other in towing and detailing, having, you know, tows dropping off at detail shops all around, you know, California. Well, eventually we moved up to Seattle. And of course, with the rain, that idea of a detailing company, depending on who you're talking to, could either be a great idea with job security or it could be a terrible idea just because it's constantly raining. So that's kind of where I learned about detailing. And then when we moved to Arizona, I was in high school. And that's kind of when I started to look at career choices, ways that I can make money while in high school and, you know, working towards graduation and still make an income. And since we're in the beautiful, sunny state of Arizona, after a ton of consideration, I decided to start mobile.
And so you started a mobile detailing business in high school?
Yes, actually, just about right out of high school, actually.
Gotcha. How old are you right now?
So I'm 21 right now.
Got it. So a few years been going.
Yes.
Nice. So was your dad doing towing in these different spots or still something around the automotive space, or that was just something that you guys always dabbled in growing up?
Yeah. So he was in – he had a towing operation up until – actually, probably right before I started junior high. And then he changed industries and started a business within the pet industry. But for a majority of, you know, the whole beginning of my life was immersed in automotive.
Got it. And what was it about, like, detailing cars specifically that you liked versus just doing what he did and just entering the tow industry?
So that's a good question. For me, it was just more so the fact of a finished result. With towing, there was definitely money in it, but there was no glamorous side of it. And even though I wouldn't say detailing is necessarily a glamorous industry, but there's certainly more of a satisfaction, I guess, in, you know, coming with something that needs to be restored, something filthy, dirty, whatever it may be, and then being able to come up with a finished result and to actually see your work in front of you after X amount of hours, to me, that's always just been an attractive feat to the industry and to the business.
Nice. So then, right out of high school, you start your own detailing business. Did it take off right away? Was the market hot for it in your area? How did that go?
So another good question. So with that, unfortunately, out of high school, you know, I had the intention of starting the business, and I did, but without much knowledge of business itself, at least on my end. You know, my father, you know, he's, you know, a business owner. However, you know, actually immersing yourself in it is a whole different thing than being around it. So initially it was a little slow starting off, but it eventually picked up as I started doing my detailing more. And as I started marketing, I started getting a little bit more business. But yeah, definitely off the bat, it was definitely slow paced, you know, coming out of high school at least.
And was there any, just quickly, was there any marketing things that worked initially for you right away or that helped?
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a few of those, because there's a lot of guys right in that window, right, where they just started their detailing business and they're trying to get it off the ground. And the biggest problem is, and I think that's kind of what you were alluding to, is like, you know how to detail, but if you don't know how to get clients, you're in big trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. And you hit it right on the nose. I mean, I've been washing cars since I was a kid, but the business aspect was absent. So that was definitely something that had to be built. As for marketing, you know, we live in an era where we have social media now. That wasn't something that was big back then. So Facebook, relied heavily on Facebook,
running ads or just posting?
Yeah, just posting, reaching out to different groups. You know, in this area, there's a lot of groups for our town. So you have pages for Gilbert, our town, which is the town that I currently live in. You know, our town, Gilbert, downtown Gilbert, Chandler Living, which is the neighboring town, and, you know, just kind of reaching out to people in those groups, doing some shameless plugs, even though some people may look down at self-promotion. But honestly, when, you know, you're out of school and you're looking for work,
right,
sometimes self-promotion's all you got. Yeah.
Right. Nice. So then, you're mobile. Are you still mobile to this day?
Yes. So I'm still mobile. I feel that the mobile format tends to be, it's ideal for me. I would like to have a shop, especially at this time of year with the, you know, the temperature right now, it's about 105 degrees out here.
Oh my gosh.
And it's miserable. So right now it'd be nice to be in a shop, but in the end, you know, I have a mobile rig that's pretty much paid off, and I can go to the customers' homes, which for the most part, that convenience is probably 80% of what people want when they, you know, call me out.
Right. Exactly. Now I want to get into kind of the meat and potatoes of this episode, because I think I think there's some people that are doing it, but I don't think I've ever had someone on the podcast that has niched down their detailing business so specifically. And I think what intrigued me about it is that I think that you are a little bit, I feel like you are a little bit ahead of the curve and ahead of the trend of what we're going to start seeing. And that's really why I wanted to do this episode, because I think if more people take this approach, they will have more success quicker. And that is, you've really niched down. So do you want to talk about that? How, like, why did you decide to niche down and become what you are today? Where did that start?
I was doing, you know, several, you know, commuters, you know, the mommy washes.
You cut out just a little.
Minivans.
Sorry, you cut out just a little bit. Can you start over? Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, no worries. So about 6 to 9 months ago, I was coming out of summer, and that period of the year where it's pretty much miserable here. And I had done dozens and dozens of mommy washes on filthy minivans and SUVs. I was doing you know, Corollas and Maximas, you name it. And then, you know, thrown in there probably another, you know, Tesla constantly as well. But so with doing that and, you know, with the extreme heat, in a way, I felt like I was almost hitting this wall of being burnt out. I almost, in a way, was just like, you know, I don't know how much longer I can detail. The joy was almost being sucked out of it, so to speak. It was no longer fun to me. It was paying, and sure, it was paying the bills, but there's this wall that I hit, and it was just like making the money to me wasn't what was important to me at that point. It was more so that I just wanted to be happy with what I was doing.
Right.
And so I, you know, have a couple customers with Porsches already. And since a very young age, I've been a massive Porsche fan. My father's an owner of a 911. So I kind of grew up around that. And it's always just been a passion to me. So one day I was out cleaning one of my customers' 911s, and it just kind of struck to me where I was like, you know, if I could do this every day, all day, just cleaning Porsches because of my passion for them. It was like the only time that that joy started to really like hit me again, where I was like, wow, you know, I love my job. This is, you know, the greatest thing ever. And then this idea hit me where I'm like, you know, what if I only did Porsches? You know, is that viable? Is that something that I can do to actually rely on for a steady income? Well, you know, as time went on, I did more research and looked to see if there were other other detailers who were doing specific to Porsche. And it just was something that kind of just fell in my lap where I was like, you know, this might actually be something special, considering that I can't find anybody who's doing this. And maybe there is somebody who's doing it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, one of the listeners is going to hear this and go, oh, what? I'm doing this. Or, oh, so-and-so in this region's doing it. I don't know. I just did my research, you know, through social media as well as some online searches. And as far as I know, I'm the only independent Porsche detailer, exclusive Porsche detailer in the country, you know, and that's basically outside of the dealerships. And even the dealerships aren't even exclusive with the used cars they get in.
Right. You know, that brings up such an interesting, sorry to cut you off, but it brings up an interesting, or such a topic that, a discussion that I have with my wife a lot lately. And it's like, you know, this thought like you had of what do I like to do? Like, what makes me happy? Because I'm just worn out. And the fact is, if you're worn out doing something, you're not going to want to do it. And then when you do do it, you're probably not going to be as good as you really are at it, right? So, like, and there's no, I just don't see a reason anymore to do that, right? So, like, especially as detailers, we have, like, the coolest job in the world that we get to work on cars. And then, like said, if you get to work on cars that you love, you're like, it's hard work, and it's sometimes tedious, and, you know, I can only imagine when it's 105 plus out. But it's like, if you could do something that energizes you and you're actually kind of refreshed by, you're going to want to do it all the time. And then, therefore, you're going to be the best at it, and you're going to really get that snowball rolling down the hill and create a big snowball of, like, the best, the most sought after, the highest, you know, charger or earner for it and all that stuff. So I think that's huge to just do stuff you'd like to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it definitely gave me that, you know, surge of joy. And, you know, I feel like I felt when I first started detailing in the first place, it's just that, you know, that giddy child feeling when you get called to a job and you get to actually be around something that you love, like you said. You know, it's just, there's no greater feeling in the world than to get called out and get to, you know, immerse yourself in that. I think it's, you know, definitely the greatest decision I've made business-wise, you know, so other than starting the business in the first place.
Right. So there's obviously a big culture around Porsches in general, but is there, in the Gilbert area, are they... Is there like a big Porsche club scene? Is there a lot of them? Did you go through down that road of research before you decided to go all in with it? What did that kind of look like?
Yeah, so definitely the culture is a huge part of, especially air-cooled Porsches. That's you know, a massive following, and
so you've niched
really
down
cult following.
Well, you do all Porsches or any, or just air-cooled?
I do all Porsches. If I did it just air cooled, that would be really cool. But I don't know if there's really necessarily a living in that.
Got it.
That'd be pretty cool if there was. But yeah, so out here there is a very big Porsche culture, and so Gilbert is a suburb of the Phoenix metropolitan area. But going out a little more ways towards Scottsdale, about 20 to 25 minute drive from me, there's a massive, massive following out there and culture. And in fact, there's a coffee shop in Scottsdale, actually right outside of Old Town.
Is it 4 till 4?
4 till 4, that's exactly it. And the first Saturday of every month, they have the Porsches and coffee gathering. Where everybody brings their Porsches, and out there, I mean, we have like the 356s, we got all the 911s, air cooled and water cooled. Guys bringing transaxles, like the 944s, and you name it, everything's there. And yeah, so that's right there in Old Town. So, which actually kind of brings me to the next, you know, thought is where I got all, you know, where I got, you know, kind of that start with clients and kind of building up on that. But then there's 4 till 4. There's also, you know, the AZPCA, you know, Arizona Porsche Club of America. So that's, you know, that's here. That's statewide. But, you know, they have their Going Places magazine. So if there's an AZPCA, or not AZPCA in specific, but if there's a PCA in your area, chances are they have a monthly subscription magazine, and they do take sponsors. So you can get in there, and it's given to all the Porsche owners in the area. So that's been a, you know, a positive to have the AZPCA around. I actually don't have my sponsorship yet, but I've been in contact with them, and we're working on doing it for the July offer. So
nice.
So definitely the culture is pretty rich here. That's for sure.
So 9 months ago, you go exclusively Porsches. What do you tell your customers? Because at that point, you had been running your business, what, about 2 years, 2.5 years? So you've inevitably got some clients that aren't Porsche owners, that, you know, the soccer moms or the Corollas or whatever, that are becoming return clients. What do you tell those clients when they call you back? Do you still do those cars? I mean, fair enough if you do. I ask because I would have a really hard time, like, turning down work. You know, but what do you say to those past clients?
Yeah, so that's actually, you know, really interesting. Yes, because that's, you know, been the hardest part of doing it all, especially, you know, as you know, when you're servicing clients' cars for so long, you start to build relationships with your customers. You know, I've had customers since I started this business who have been going bi-monthly, some bi-weekly, you know, for the last few years. So yeah, you definitely build those relationships. So splitting from that side of the business was hard, but I feel, and this is, you know, maybe just, you know, with my business, but I feel that, you know, I've gained a lot of my customers' trust, and I feel that, you know, they take my word for a lot, you know, when it comes to detailing in this industry. And I know a lot of other detailers in the local area. I've built a lot of friendships with other local detailers. So the ones that I trust the most, I will usually just refer my customers to them, and rather than them call me and schedule, some slip through the cracks, by the way, but I'll usually try to reach out to them and say, hi, just so you know, this is, you know, kind of the way that things have been going. I do have somebody who can pick up, you know, basically right where I leave off, you know, better wording, of course, you know, usually if it's my recommendation and my relationship with my customers and the trust we've built, usually they'll have no problem just picking up with someone else. And, you know, it kind of strengthens the relationship with other detailers as well, you know, as you throw them the little bones, and it's kind of everybody's happy, and it's a win-win for everybody. I get to give my customers to somebody who I know I can trust, somebody that they can trust. And I get to, you know, continue on my journey as Porsche exclusive. So
nice. So you kind of sub it out in a way.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, you know, for giving them those customers, you know, depending on what I work out with the other detailers, whether it's a percentage based, you know, commission or referral fee, so to speak, or just selling a chunk of my route. there's ways to still get monetary value from all the work I've built up in the area. But it's all agreement. You know, it just depends on, you know, what we can come to an agreement with, you know, whatever detailer it is in the area. And I, so that's kind of how it works out on my end.
So as you kind of niche down into the Porsche scene, did you actually get busier? Because did the owners like knowing that all you did was Porsches? Did that really, obviously there's a marketing spin on it, but other than that, did it really, like, are you busier now being exclusive to Porsches than you were being the detailer for any car?
So I would say it's about the same. I mean, I was already pretty busy, but yeah, I'd say it's been a consistent, steady transition. People definitely like the idea of exclusives, especially, you know, the guys whose Porsches are like their babies. Mm. And they don't want to just give it to anybody to clean, but rather they're going to look for somebody who appreciates what they have just as much as they do.
Right.
I think that's, you know, the biggest thing for being exclusive to anything. You know, there's some guys who won't even let their wives touch their Porsches, but they'll have a guy who's a specialist.
Right.
And it may cost a little bit more than other guys out there who are willing to wash it, but in the end, you get somebody who's understands what they have in front of them, and somebody who's a specialist understands, you know, hard versus soft paint, and they understand exactly what they have in front of them because they work on them every day. So I think most Porsche owners will turn to me for, you know, for servicing rather than anyone else, just because of that. I am a specialist for these cars.
Have you become a resource for other things outside of detailing as well? Like, because have you become like the Porsche, not maybe a restoration guy, but like, do they come to you first before they may go somewhere else or ask you for a referral towards other things that have to do with the car?
9 months ago is when I decided that this was the route I was going to go, but I've only been doing this exclusive for about 2 months now.
Gotcha.
So I'm still kind of building up the reputation in the area. Mm. But for the most part, that's the direction I'm headed, where I want to be really the go-to Porsche guy, where if somebody has a question about, you know, rebuilds or whatever it may be,
right.
You know, I want to be the guy where, you know, I could be that resource, exactly like you said, where I can guide people in the right direction. And in here, I mean, there's three shops that are exclusive Porsche that are just doing, you know, rebuilds and any type of mechanic work that are exclusive to Porsche. And there's, you know, Patrick Motorsports, then Phoenix, a couple other companies, Borham Motorsports, yeah. So we got quite a few out here too. So definitely that's, I'm trying to build relationships with them. I be a reasonable to those shops, and in return, you know, they could be a resource to send people, you know, my way. There's as well as also be in that mix as well.
Right, totally. So it's a big referral program.
And like you mentioned earlier, you know, there's a culture surrounded around Porsche. So in a way, it's almost like a brotherhood or like a family. You know, once you're in the Porsche community and you start meeting people, I mean, really, it's like you're almost embraced right away.
Right.
It's pretty cool. So with that, you know, that's why I think, you know, niching down so much helps a lot too in that aspect, because there's other guys that you're going to build relationships with, and you're almost a guaranteed source. You know, when, you know, they're sending somebody to a detailer, they're not just sending them to any shop. They get to send them to somebody that they trust as well, because, you know, in a way, you're in their community, you're in their inner circle.
100%. And that's what I love about this idea of niching down so hard, is that it's like the way I look at the internet, right? The internet as a whole, when it first started, it was great. Or mobile detailing, when it first started and there wasn't much competition, it was great because you were pretty much the only one someone could pick, right? Regardless of what your reputation was, or regardless of the information that you find on the internet. When the internet is small itself, it is what it is, that, you know. But as it grows and becomes so expansive, and with mobile detailing, there's so many options. It's like, how do you stand out amongst the sea of detailers? And that's why I think niching down like you have, and I would really highly suggest it for other people too, is that as you niche down, you actually weed yourself out of the crowd and become the person or the resource. And a lot of times it, I talk about becoming like the celebrity detailer in your local area, because you become the go-to guy. Everyone else falls away and you're the guy. So that's what excites me about your decision to be the Porsche guy, the Porsche guy, you know, in your local area. And what's cool about bringing you on and doing this is that guys can replicate that even with Porsches across the country, you know, because I'm sure there's plenty of Porsches to detail.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and what you just said, too, is completely true. And that's, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I felt comfortable making the transition, because for a lot of people, I'm pretty sure listening right now, there's people out there who have had the idea of going exclusive to a certain niche in this industry, but they're scared to because they don't want to narrow it down so much because they think they're going to lose customers. But in reality, it's almost the opposite. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
No, all good. Yeah, no, you're totally right. It's kind of this weird, I look at it too, like me starting this podcast. It was like everyone had a business podcast, a multi-level marketing podcast, and I thought, man, is there enough people that would want to listen to a podcast only about detailing? But I'm starting to really see now, I mean, it's only taken 4 years, but it's like I was able to grow this following because it was so niche, you know? And I'm sure, and then even June Jones does like the dealership detailing podcast. I think he still does it at least. And it's like, you know, that's even more niche down. And then he's been able to create his own little following of dealership detailers. And it's all the same thing of like, the more you niche down, there's this quote and it's like the riches are in the niches, right? And I've always kind of held to that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like you said, you initially weed out all of the competition. So, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who, you know, are doing a wide variety. And like you said, you're lost in the sea of competition. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing, or that's the biggest challenge that detailers will have initially is, you know, how do you get through that sea? How do you stand out? And your work could talk for itself, but, you know, Joe Schmo down the street's charging $20 less. So somebody's going to go to him. And, you know, so almost in a reality, sometimes the work that you do, you could do the best work in the area and you're still going to get overlooked because of price.
100%.
And that could still happen with niching down, but in a way you have more of that,
you have the leverage,
more of those, you have that leverage, and you essentially weed out all of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I no longer, because before, you know, when I was originally detailing you know, the wide variety, I would see other detailers on social media or even out in the field. I'd be, you know, washing a car and another detailer would drive by and even come into the same office complex, you know, and work on the other side. And it was almost like, oh, you know, let me keep an eye on him and see what he's doing. You know, I don't want him stealing my business.
Right.
There was this weird, you know, this weird thing where it's almost like everybody's stepping on each other's toes, so to speak. And not talking bad against other detailers out there. There's great detailers, but in a way there's this, this low self-esteem aspect to it as well, where it's like there's so many guys out there doing what you do and you want to stand out. So with niching down, you basically have weeded that out. Now when I see other detailers, to me it's like, that's great. Like, I love what you're doing. Keep it up. You know, in a way it's like they're not competition to me anymore, unless, you know, unless they go Porsche exclusive.
But right. Which even then, I mean, there may be room for that. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
definitely, you know, absolutely.
The thing that I keep relying on now is like, you know, there could be competition in your exact niche, but someone is going to like you or the way you explain things or your style, as we all have our different styles and everything.
Totally.
People are going to like your style and some people aren't going to like your style. You know, a lot of people ask me about the podcast and they're like, oh, how do you feel about all these other detailing related podcasts popping up? And my first answer is like, well, I think it's great because I enjoy the competition per se. But at the end of the day, it's like, some people like American food, some people like Mexican food, some people like Chinese food. Like, someone else is going to say something that I don't say or say it in a different way, and they're going to like them. And it's like, that's cool. As long as people are listening to the podcast, I'm in. You know, for you, it's like, as long as people are buying Porsches, who cares?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And you know, and that's exactly true. And I will say one thing that I'm, you know, hashtag blessed with is that literally there's a Porsche dealership down the street from my residence. I have my house, and not even 2 miles away, we have Porsche of Chandler that's sitting right there on, you know, some crossroads that are nearby. I'm not going to say where, because I don't need people coming searching.
Right.
Well, actually, never mind. They could just look up the dealership. Anyways, it's Porsche of Chandler.
Sure.
Very close. And
don't worry, no one listens to this. Just
okay, well, then in that case, good. And, you know, they're selling cars every day.
Yep.
So as long as they keep their doors open, this area is going to continue to stay a strong area 100%. For me, and it will continue to feed my family. And to me, that's really, you know, all I care about. And, you know, if somebody else were to come into this area doing the same thing, you know, all power to them. Like you said, people have different preferences. Maybe one person thinks I talk too much and they like the other guy because he doesn't talk and just does work. And,
right.
There's so many factors to what people like, you know, and maybe one guy's got more of a, more friends in that community than I do. And he may, or maybe somebody may even niche down even further and say, you know what, I'm not even going to do the, Panameras or the SUVs. I'm just going to do strictly 911. That's it, you know?
Yep.
Great. Yep. I mean, you know, and there's so many cars out there, and there's enough bread for everybody.
Totally. And I think that's where I think, and I could be totally wrong, but I think that's where it's going to eventually go, is like, we see this trend from, you know, all cars to specific cars to specific, you know, even down to like, I only work on, you know, 03s to 09, you know, 911s that are maybe not down to the color, but like, you know, whatever special section of years that specific car is. I think we will see detailers only working on those, just like we see mechanics doing that. You know, there's mechanics that do everything, and then there's very specialty specific mechanics,
like those motorsport shops I was telling you about. And I even have a really close friend, and it's a family-owned business, and they own a European only shop, and their specialty is Land Rovers.
Yep.
And I mean, every time I see their shop, you know, they got, you know, a couple Defenders in there.
Yep.
And I think it's awesome. Oh, me too. And you know, and they got a couple Defenders in there, and you know, completely overland. It's awesome. But you know, that's what they specialize on.
Yep.
They're master they're master technicians. They've gone through the schooling for it. So people who have Range Rovers, Land Rovers, anything in the Land Rover family, that's their go-to spot in this area. And they really, I mean, it's almost not even competition other than the Land Rover dealership. But
even then, it's like, that's what makes it crazy, is you literally have no competition.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think I mentioned this to you a while back, and I really should have looked up what his name is, but there's a detailer that covers this area. And he is 100% exclusive to RVs and mobile homes. He doesn't do anything else. And that's what he does. You know, all power to him, because I cannot do that. RVs are a whole nother monster. But, you know, he does great at it. And he is a highly, highly recommended detailer when it comes to RVs and mobile homes. And he is, as far as I know, I don't know. I didn't do my research. I only know this guy. And of course I forget his name, so maybe I don't know.
I'm trying to look back through our messages to see if,
I'm not sure if I said his name or not. But he's, if I remember it, maybe I can, you know, message it to you.
Sure.
You can put it in the show notes or
sure.
something along those lines. You know, for people who are looking at that avenue as well. But yeah, you know, there's no competition there, and you have your people who are just as devoted to a brand as you are.
Right.
Who are going to, you know, follow in those footsteps of, you know, if you're going to be Porsche exclusive, you know, I want the guy to work on my car to be Porsche exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is.
That's awesome, man. Is there any last words that you want to say, that anything that we missed that you want to talk about before we kind of wrap up? I think this is such a good idea. I really want to do a follow-up episode with us, you know, in the next year or two, that, you know, see how it's going and kind of follow up with it. Cause I think it's just such a freaking good idea.
Yeah. No, I agree. I would love to do a follow-up episode, cause like I said, you know, I've only been doing this 2 months. So after a year, who knows, you know, the sky's really the limit. And like I said, I do cover an extremely broad area since I am the only exclusive guy in this area. You know, depending on jobs, you know, if
you know, travel.
Somebody has, I will travel. And the furthest that I'm willing to travel out is probably close to where you're at over in that area.
I mean, or why not? You could travel wherever, right?
Yeah. You know, if somebody pays for the airfare, you know, gladly I'll go wherever they send me.
Did you get that title from Porsche, or like, how do you, or is that just a self title that you're like the only exclusive guy? Or
so that's a really good question. I actually reached out to Porsche USA and
I probably should have led with this question, I guess, but I just thought I just thought about it right now.
Yeah, no problem. The intellectual properties manager of Porsche USA, because originally I had a different business name, which was the Porsche Revival. And basically the whole point of Revival is, you know, restoring something, bring it back to life.
Sure.
And so I reached out to them to see if that was any type of, you know, infringement, you know, on trademark with the name, which I encourage everybody to do that if they're looking at any type of, you know, niche or whatever it may be, just to make sure. And I said what I was doing, and the only thing they said that would have been an infringement was the actual name itself, but not the fact that I labeled myself as an exclusive detailer.
Gotcha.
But if I run into issues with that in the future, maybe our follow-up episode, I'm going to have a different way to phrase it, because who knows. But no, Laura Malone, I think, was her name. I may be wrong. But she laid it out very kindly for me, you know, what's considered, you know, appropriate to label your company and your business as long as it doesn't look like you're strictly associated with them, as if you are a Porsche business from the actual company as a whole. So maybe I can run into issues with saying I'm an exclusive Porsche exclusive detailer. It may have to be Porsche only. I'm not sure how to, but as far as I know, it's not an issue. Cause like I said, I did talk to the intellectual property manager who takes care of basically all of the trademarks, copyrights, anything that could really affect their brand name as a whole, and there was no issue with that. So as far as I know, I'm in the clear with that.
Nice. I love it. So if people want to follow you then and kind of keep tabs on you or learn from you and kind of or copy what you're doing, how about that? How can they find you on Instagram, social? How could they see what you're doing, follow you?
Yeah, definitely. So unfortunately, my website is not up right now. I'm still kind of getting all of those things together right now.
Do you have the domain though, or not yet?
Not yet. So
okay, gotcha.
I'm kind of working right now with, you know, web designers, getting a page together, and domain probably should have been the first thing I did, honestly. But
I was just going to say, because this is going to live for a while, so you can throw out the domain if you have it. Don't throw it out if you don't have it, because then I would hate
Yeah, I don't have it yet.
Steal it.
Because first thing I'd say is I'd give a domain, and then one of your sneaky followers is going to go in and steal it as a joke.
Probably be me.
Yeah, exactly. Jimbo's now Flat Six Revival.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, to find me, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is at flat6revival, and that's the number 6. So FLAT, number 6, REVIVAL. Currently, I only have 2 posts up there right now, but that's just because right now I'm working with finding a proper theme. I want to have the page kind of pop out and be something that is eye capturing. So more DSLR photos and you name it. So I'm kind of working on that right now with better content. But feel free to give me a follow. And if you have any questions, you can always give me a call at 480-912-2638. And I can answer any of your questions about, you know, if you do want to niche down into it, or if you even just have questions about starting up a detailing business out of high school, you know, feel free to reach out to me with any questions. I am an open book, and I try to be as transparent as possible for anybody who has questions.
Nice, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and give us all that information. That was awesome. All right, hope you guys enjoyed that episode about how to niche down your detailing business. Hey, I invite you to check out the Detailer Inner Circle, but also jimbodaily.com. That's where I have wash mitts, microfiber towels, accessories. It's basically the auto detailing podcast store. So if you're interested in any of the items that, if you're interested in knowing the items that I've handpicked, the items that I have in my truck currently as I go out and detail cars, which I still do the majority of the time. Anyway, you can see those at jimbodaily.com. So it's the Auto Detailing Podcast Store or jimbodaily.com. See ya.